I guess y'all know by now I love that song. I had one or the other boys lead it almost all the time, and I like leading it too. How many of you have a songbook at home? Okay. If you don't have a songbook at home, I want you to get one and take it home with you. We've got plenty. If you don't have one of these at home, take it home and set it next to your Bible. I'm not saying replace your Bible with this, but this is a good, what I call a good quick fix. You know, if you get down in the dumps, number 211 is a good one to take out and read. Y'all look at it real quick. You probably all have it memorized, but let's look at it again. We, I love that we as a church, we as a people. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Is that something wonderful to think about? Do you ever sit and think, thank you, Lord, for the Son of your love who died for us and is now gone above? He was resurrected. We believe that, don't we? We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our nights. What is that Spirit of light? Your eyes have been opened. You have an understanding. You can talk about these things because you know what it is. You know about Jesus Christ, and it has been given to us by the Spirit of the Lord, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. What's scattering our night? Whenever you're down and dumped and depressed, you know, you think about your Savior and the Spirit of the Lord, and it's going to scatter all that depression. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Now, if that won't make you start rejoicing, I don't know what will. Who has borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain? Is that just wonderful to think about? Sweet children of God, that's talking about you. That's talking about all of you that who love the Savior. He has borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. You're not stained with your sins. Why? Because he's washed you whiter than snow. When the Lord looks at you, he sees the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, and he loves and rejoices with his child. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. And that's kind of what I was asking when I stood up. I wanted a little revival. Fill each heart with thy love. May so be rekindled with fire from above. We come together and we sing together and we rejoice and praise the Lord. If you don't have a book, songbook, take it home with you. I'm going to take just a few minutes. And Brother Joe and I, he asked me, what have you been looking at this week? And I've been reading chapter 17 of 1 Kings about Elijah. And I got to thinking about Elijah this week. I don't know what put it on my heart. But anyway, I'm just going to read right here. We're going to talk. Most of you know this story, and I want to get to the 10th verse. That's where I'm heading. Chapter 17 of 1 Kings. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The Lord has commanded the ravens to feed Elijah there by that brook. How wonderful is that? The Lord can speak to the ravens and have them do his will. So he went. It's a good thing he did, you know. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, now the Lord is going to tell him something else. Arise, go there to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a crush, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. You know, the Lord told Elijah, I have commanded this widow woman to do a certain thing. Now, it doesn't say that an angel appeared to the widow woman. It doesn't say how he commanded this widow woman, but this widow woman knew what she was supposed to do. Have you ever thought about that? Do you in your life, as you're doing things, have you ever had impressions of to do something that, something really good, something nice, I need to do this. I think I've been told to go and do this for Sister So-and-so. The Lord speaks to us. He speaks to us today. And if you ever get that impression, brothers and sisters, the Lord's talking to you. If you ever get a feeling that you need to get up and go do something, you don't know where it came from, but I'm telling you where it came from. It came from your Heavenly Father. Get up and go and do it, because you'll be blessed in doing that. This woman, when Elijah said, fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, and bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Up until now, she's pretty well doing what she was told, because the Lord had commanded her to do this. But now she kind of backs up just a little bit, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now the flesh is coming in on her just a little bit. I know I've been commanded to do these things, to listen to you, to take care of you, but I just don't understand it. She started not kind of a little bit of disbelief. How's this going to happen? You know, I don't have that much meal. I don't have that much oil. I don't understand. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But makest me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Well, it didn't make a lot of sense to her naturally, in her natural mind. But what did she do? And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Do we listen to our God, our Lord and Savior? Do we listen to what he tells us when he tells us to rise up and do something? We don't have to be in the Old Testament. We don't have to be a prophet. We don't have to be somebody special, an ordained elder or whatever, to hear the Lord speaking to us. And we need to open our hearts, and we need to be a good vessel. We need to let the Lord know, Lord, I want to know what you would have me to do. Ask him, beg him, And he'll let you know. He'll give you some inspiration and thought. So it just kind of impressed me. Mainly was, how did the Lord command this widow woman to do what she did? But he told Elijah, I have commanded her to do this. He went with faith, knowing that this woman had been commanded by the Lord to help sustain him. He went. The Lord did exactly what he said. And he's going to do what he said for each and every one of us. What's that? He's going to take us home to heaven one day. Do we have something to sing about and to praise about? To lift up our voices in praise? All right, come ahead, brother.
Well, good morning. Appreciate very much what Brother Gary brought to our minds there, and I hope that the thoughts that are on my mind will tie up there somewhat. In that, following the leadership of the Spirit, and trying to do the will of God. We'll say very shortly, we were disappointed we were not able to be with y'all last weekend for your meeting, but heard good reports, and so thankful y'all were able to host that and have that, and we sure were in prayer and missed being here. I want to begin, I think, y'all pray for us as we try to go forward here. Lord would guide our thoughts, but I want to go to Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians, so the verse that has caught my attention this week. And I'll read several verses here, and then we'll try to speak about this for just a few minutes, bring a few thoughts to your mind. In verse 19, Colossians 1 and 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through God, or having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Now, Paul is speaking to the church at Colossae here, and he's really digging into some pretty deep thoughts there, really. But the descriptions, how he puts it around this thought, is what I want to try to spend a little bit of time on. He's speaking here of reconciliation between man and God. And I think first we have to state again, as we all are quite familiar with the doctrine of total depravity and the fact that Adam plunged us as a race, a body of mankind, into sin, and we were at enmity against God, is the Scripture's description of that, or at total opposition of God. So for reconciliation is if Brother Joe and I have a big falling out and disagreement, for us to be joined back together and our relationship healed and us to be traveling forward on the same path and the same course, same values again, there's going to have to be some coming back together, some healing, and there's going to have to be some... Really, there's going to have to be some forgiveness. There's going to have to be some justification in one or other's mind that the agreement or whatever we've come to is satisfactory. If we fall out on a point of the color of the chairs here, just a silly example, but to make example, you know, and he says they should be this, I don't know, I guess this is black, and I say they should be blue. I probably have that wrong, don't I? It's not black, is it? Either way, we're going to call them black this morning. And I say they should be blue. Well, and we get really heated. I mean, and this gets completely opposed with each other. To the point we're not speaking to one another again. And so we're personally hurt then with each other. For us to come back together and to be able to have a relationship and a friendship and to move forward together, then not only do we have to agree on the color of the chairs, but there has to be some justifying in my mind, and there has to be the court of my mind. I have to justify that what Brother Joe is saying and his forgiveness and his when he comes back to me, and vice versa, when I'm speaking to him, that for one, what he's saying is true, and the statements that he's making now are right and true. So the courtroom of my mind has to be cleared, as it were, whether that be by we both agree and he comes to my side and says, yes, we want to have black. But it also the relationship healing, the offense that was made, I have to be satisfied with the apology or the forgiveness that he made in his error. Now, that may have been a little bit of a silly example, but hopefully that illustrates somewhat to you where we stand with God. We've offended God. Not only did we err and disagree with him when we sinned against his law, we said, no, I want it to be blue. It's what Adam did in my simple illustration there. But we also offended God. So for reconciliation to happen, not only must we be right, because in that situation, see, in the chairs, Brother Joe or I, one, either one could be right. Between man and God, we're wrong. God is just and holy. God is the highest power. He is the ruler of all. He can make no wrong, and his will is true and right. So when he sends out a commandment, the chairs must be black, don't eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, then anything that deviates from that is wrong. And Adam did that. All right, so not only do we have to come back to God's way, God's commandments, God's rules, and be right, but then we have this offense that we've now made, this gulf of offense between us and God. And there must be not only justification for our wrongdoing, but there must be a payment for offense. And Christ's blood, if we go over to 2 Corinthians, I think, or actually, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, and it goes through some, but I think the better description is going to be here. And So in Romans 5, we'll just start in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we've not only been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood shed on the cross. By whom also, by Christ also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And let's skip down to verse 7, or in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that he commended, this is how he showed or commended his love toward us, in that when we were yet sinners, when we were still the offender and still at wrong with God, Christ died for us. This is how God's love is shown forth to the sinner. Is that even when we're still in error and still in offense against God, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're cleansed, we're justified in the courtroom of God. We can stand justified by the blood of Christ Jesus, by the washing away of those sins and offenses, for one, but also by the sacrifice that's made for the offense against God. We can stand justified in his blood. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, Much more being reconciled, now that we are reconciled by the death of his Son, much more, he says, he's putting emphasis on this next part, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Since we're reconciled, since we're back at peace with God, since those offenses have been paid for and the justification has been made, and peace is made, and union has been made, and a relationship is again built with God, we shall be saved. We shall be saved by his life, by the life of Christ Jesus, by the living Redeemer that is seated on the right hand of the throne of God, who is also our ambassador, who is also our mediator. His life, we are saved by his life daily. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We've now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So he explains some of what we've been trying to go over here. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, over the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. The free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, again, that's Adam, the offense of one many be dead, dead in sins, much more by the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Christ Jesus, hath abounded unto many. The free gift of grace by Christ Jesus hath abounded unto many. And not only as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The free gift, the free gift not only covers that one offense, that one man plunged us into sin, but the free gift covers many offenses that we ourselves practice daily. Unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. So if we go back to 2 Corinthians there, I want to pick up just a little bit there. And this is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. This is some of the similar language here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ. So if this reconciliation that was spoken of in Romans, if the free gift of grace is applied to you, the sinner that's offended God and is in error against God, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Here's another part. In this reconciliation to God, there's a new creature. There's a change that has to be made. There's a washing of regeneration. And this reconciliation process to God, not only is the justification or the legal part has to happen with the blood of Christ Jesus, but there's a washing of regeneration, the changing of heart, a changing of mind. You know, over here in Colossians, you're alienated in your mindset or in your nature. Alienated means separated. If we, you know, have movies or speak of aliens, we see them as something that's from outer space, a far planet, and way off, and very different and strange to us. The sinner sees God as that, far off and way out and strange to us, different. We're opposed to it immediately. We're opposed to the alien idea immediately. And that's what he's saying there. We're alienated in our mind, in our nature, in our being. Old things are, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That old path, those old ways of error, those old ways of offending God, that old nature, it's passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Here is the beautiful part, though. Here's the beautiful part we're getting to. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Wait a minute. Hold on, Brother Matt. Now, you've been beating us up pretty bad here about how we're offended God and we're separated from him, and we've got a lot of things we need to do to get back in harmony with God. But you just said that the person doing all the task and labor in this situation and work to himself reconciled us to himself. See, in our description, our analogy here, Brother Joe and I, we had to sort of meet in the middle. God is sending out his Son. Well, let me read the rest of this verse. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Wow. That's the thought that hit me when I read this verse. Wow. So not only is there a gift of grace, a gift of justification before God Almighty, a gift of eternal righteousness and justification. I don't think I can describe or say that plainly or even scream it and be excited enough for us to maybe realize the fullness of that statement. The gift of eternal justification and righteousness before God Almighty, a sovereign being. I don't even know how to describe that to you. You can't wrap up and put a bow on any larger gift that this world could imagine. We can't even understand, I don't think, fully the extent of eternal justification and righteousness before a sovereign God. That just the fact that there is a gift like that made by God is mind-boggling. Just the fact that that is there, that God put that together, in my words, put that together, this gift. That's mind-boggling. But then he says, he has sent out, or hath reconciled and brought in reconciliation, the two parties must be together, and God hadn't moved. Okay? This is kind of like the old man and old woman riding around, and she says, we used to sit together and ride over close, and you'd put your arm around me and all this, and he looks over and he says, well, I hadn't moved. Right? I mean, that sounds silly, but making the point, God hasn't moved and will not move, cannot move. There's the difference. Not that he won't move. He cannot move. He cannot change. He doesn't have the ability to change in his nature. Now, God can move, don't get me wrong. He can move in many ways. But as far as his precepts and his will and his holiness and righteousness, he cannot move. Or he wouldn't be sovereign.
That's right.
He has reconciled us, those that he chose, those that he loved, the love that we read over there in Romans. Reconciled us to himself. So God has brought us all the way back from error, from sin, from offense, from ignorance, in the true sense of the word, unlearned, ignorance, from a changed heart. He's brought us back, reconciled us to him, 2.0. And zero is no error, no sin, no condemnation. Romans 8, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. All this happens by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus' blood on the cross covered our sins, paid for our sins. He carries them. He bore our sins in his body, the scripture says, on the cross. Bore our sins in his body. But then he also washes us and regenerates and changes our heart, makes a new creature, plants that heart within us. And that part of the reconciling, that changes our mindset, our nature. Colossians says, in our alienated our minds, again, when a new nature's placed within us, now that new direction where we can walk with God is actually living in us now. We have the ability, we have the desire as a changed child of God, a washed and regenerated child of God, reconciled to God, legally, vitally. But here's the part that applies today, 2020 in December. Here's the part that all that sometimes we kind of want to say this is eternal, and it's so hard for man to think about eternal things and such a great work that Christ performed on the cross. It's a bit hard to apply that to me today. You know, I'm in Midland, Texas, 2020, and what does that mean when I'm trying to change diapers and make it to doctor's appointments and balance my checkbook? How does eternal salvation apply then? That you see what I mean? That sometimes it's a little hard to get that connected. Reconciliation. God has reconciled us eternally, vitally, legally. He's justified us and brought us to Him, before Him, in Christ, and cleared our name in Christ. And that's where we stand today. Right now, while we live here on this earth, while we worship today in this service, if we are in Christ Jesus, and I trust we are, we stand right now, this instant, before God, in Christ, reconciled, amen, justified, holy, and unblameable. Can you believe that? We stand there before a triune God, reconciled. If Christ's work is true and complete, and I believe it is, Scripture bears that out very clearly, that when He said it is finished, the payment was made, but then when He rose from the dead, much more by His life, we'll be reconciled. When He rose from the dead and ascended back on high, there was a declaration that the payment was received in full, the payment satisfied, and we were carried in Christ back to heaven. In Christ. Did I make that clear? We're carried with a risen Savior to the throne room of glory, reconciled. Now, let's get to, and I've got to hurry up, today. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Ministry is the gospel. Ministry is the declaring of truths, or the proclaiming, the broadcasting, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or to explain, I'm making a mess on myself, aren't I? To wit, that God was in Christ. Here's how he's explaining it. God was in Christ, reconciling the world of his elect unto himself, and I added of his elect. That's borne out in Scripture very plainly. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation is the gospel. Jesus preached the ministry or the word of reconciliation. Here's the beautiful gift that the gospel tells his people. You're saved. It's a free gift from God. And here's the knowledge of it. Now that you have this new nature and you're trying to understand, let me minister unto you that you've been reconciled to God by Himself, by Christ Jesus, by the Godhead. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. When we have this reconciliation, and this, not only do we have reconciliation because it's a gift from God, but when we have the ministry of reconciliation, when we're beginning to understand reconciliation, beginning to understand justification, beginning to understand holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now then, we're ambassadors. Now then, we're putting on Christ. An ambassador goes out into a foreign country representing his home country. Doesn't he? That's the job of an ambassador. The United States sends ambassadors to many countries around the world, and they represent the United States in a foreign country. Here we are in a foreign country. Abram said he sojourned in a land, but he looked for a heavenly country. Heaven's our home. But we sojourn here. That means we set up and establish home. Sojourning is not a one-night camp out. Sojourning is living and dwelling. But it's knowing and understanding that we're from a heavenly country because we have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the understanding that there's a God in heaven that loved enough that He would send His only begotten Son to shed His blood and die for those that were opposed, sinners that opposed and offended God, and that He would draw them to Him and reconcile them to God Almighty, to Himself. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, the prayer that he's saying there, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And I say, oh, there it is, Brother Matt. There's the part that I've got to take action on. Yes. Yes. And you know what? Has absolutely nothing to do with eternity. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, take this ministry of reconciliation you've been given, take this gospel truth that you've been given, dig in and understand, and now, you know, we spoke of the courtroom of God's mind and the courtroom of God. There's a courtroom in your mind that we ourselves must understand and reconcile in our mind and justify in our mind even though it's the truth, whether we believe it or not. An ambassador, if he's going to be a true, solid ambassador for the commandments and the declarations that go out from his country, he's got to be reconciled to those commandments and decrees that would go out from his country. If he's opposed to the decrees and commandments that go out from his country, he's not going to be a very committed ambassador. He's still a countryman. Hasn't changed his state of what country he's from. We can't change the state of country that we come from. We can't change the fact that if Christ drew us to him and reconciled us to God, we are in Christ. We're a prisoner of Christ, one scripture says. We're locked up in him. But we can reconcile in our mind. And we can make peace with God. You say, Brother Matt, I can make peace? Yes. You know how you can make peace? You can make peace when you recognize and reconcile in your mind what God's free gift has given you. And the washing that has happened to you. We can also, if we can reconcile in our mind, then we give over our life to Christ. We commit our life to Christ. Not only in an eternal sense, you know, Paul and many other writers were very descriptive to the Jews because of the law service, and to don't turn back to that law service and be entangled again in the law and trying to save yourself eternally and be entangled in that. There's that reconciliation with the truth of grace in your mind. But there's also, if you reconcile that God is who he says he is, that he's not just a nice guy, or he's not just a powerful being, but he's God, sovereign, almighty, that he is the giver of eternal life. He's the holy, 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 the Jehovah God. If you can see that he's the comforter, that he's the Savior, the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, the great physician, the list goes on and on and on, then when you come upon trouble with balancing your checkbook, with school issues, with your friends, with your young age, old age, whatever it is, we can cast our cares on him. And we can hold nothing back. Because we're reconciled. He is God. He is who he says he is. He has performed the works and has reconciled me. And he, if you can reconcile in your mind that he sees me through Christ holy and without blame before him in love, it's hard to approach someone if you don't feel like they see any value in you. Right? If I was going before the Queen of England, I would have no reason to think that she sees any value in admitting me into her court, into her throne room, and any value in what I would have to say, any value in my presence or even existence. God has said, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Much, not just a little bit, but he values that. And he's also commanded that we come boldly before his throne. We can reconcile in our minds that the reconciliation of God is complete, holy, and pure, and true. And we can give over the daily things. We can hand over the daily things and find comfort and peace. And we can comfort our minds and hearts that we are reconciled with God. We can reconcile ourselves in the courtroom of our mind with His truths and our value to Him. I thank you for your good attention.